Esther chapter 10. Well, I think the close of the book of Esther is sad. That's my opinion. Because they should have returned, the Jews should have returned from exile after 70 years in Babylon. And they should have restored the kingdom, just as all the prophets had told them they could. But they didn't. The majority of them stayed behind. They liked the soft life because they were doing pretty well. They weren't weeping by the rivers of Babylon as they remembered Zion. Now we've seen Mordecai, it's a form of Marduk, the god of Persia. Esther, her name means star, which is a form of Marduk, because Marduk was the star god. And they're wealthy. That's why Haman says to the king, if you let me scribble all these Jews, then there'll be a huge amount of money for the treasury. They were very wealthy people. And now it ends with Mordecai the Jew as next to Ahasuerus, who of course is married to Esther, who is a Jewess. And when she comes before the king with this favour, and yes, okay, she's granted her request, the Jews are saved. Really, she should have gone further and said, and can we return to our land? Well, in due course, she should have said that. But no, they stayed there. And this was not God's intention. His intention was to restore them. But they had the good life. They were popular. Everybody liked them. Many of the people of the land became Jews. And the idea was that the Jews should repent and return and bring with them repentant Gentiles to this restored kingdom of God in Israel. That isn't what happened. The Septuagint says that Mordecai lamented when he's first lamenting about the decree of Haman, that an innocent people will perish. Well, the Jews were not innocent. They had gone into captivity for their sins. They were not innocent. There is no sense of repentance. There is no sense at all that we have done wrong. There is, in fact, no mention of the name of God throughout this whole book. So God gave them deliverance, but he says in Jeremiah 16 that he would send hunters and fishers to drive them back, to drive them to be responsive to the commands to leave and return. And here you have a case of it. And what we expect is for the terrible pogrom to happen and for the Jews to say, well, we've got quite a number of months to flee, which they had because Haman cast lots for what day he should do it, and they had nearly a year. And they should have said, well, there's hunters and fishers out for us here, let's break away, let's just do a break and run back to the land. Of course, they had never lived there, but in a national sense, that's how they should have understood themselves, that we are not here, we are not at home, we want to go back to the things of God's kingdom. But they don't do that, and God in his great grace lets them off and they don't actually suffer. But then they are sucked into the soft life, just with us, just as like it is with us. We want the soft life, God gives it to us because he feels sorry for us. And we're spoiled kids and we don't respond as we should. And you see this with the father, who's clearly God in the parable. He gives the inheritance to the younger son, knowing what he's going to do. And this is where God is, I suppose, if you like, in a difficult position. He loves us, just like any parent wants to give their child what they want, but you know that's not the right thing. So the story ends with Mordecai next to King Ahasuerus and accepted by all his brothers, seeking the good of his people, and with Esther as the queen. And we wonder how it all finishes. Well, we're now coming to the end of Persian dominance, and the Persian Empire fell to the Greeks, and tradition has it that Esther was murdered. If she had gone back to the land, as God wanted every Jew to go back to the land, that would not have happened. So this is one of the sad things about God's entire engagement with people on earth. He sets up so many potentials, and yet so few of them are realized. This is the challenge. We've got to learn and realize the potential that you and I really can be God's servants, doing good works that were prepared for us, Ephesians 2:10, from the foundation of the world, that we can be in his kingdom and be his people now. We've got to be like Joseph and Jacob, who said, look, we're here in Egypt in all this opulence, but bury my bones, please, back in Canaan, not here. don't want to be here. Their hearts were back in the land of promise and in the things of the promises of the fathers, but I'm afraid now the Jews are going to assimilate yet further into the Gentile world and eventually thereby go right away from their relationship with God. It's also tragic, and it must be tragic to be God, to see so much wasted potential, to do so much for people, to respond to their desperate prayers when they're up against a hard place, and then see them drift away. Now, let's not us be like that, because we've all had times in our lives when we had crises and we begged God to save us, and he did wonderfully. And yet, like Hezekiah, did we render again to him, appropriate to the huge grace or benefit done to us? And in many ways, we haven't, and we need to learn the lesson.